Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive. Trevor Valise here. Derek Piper on assignment in East Lansing. He will be there for the Illinois-Michigan State game tonight. Tips off at 6 o'clock right after we're done. He'll be back tomorrow. Lonte on his way. He's en route from O'Hare Airport from his trip. He's getting down here to do the second hour of the show with me. In the meantime, we got plenty of Brad Underwood, Io DeSumo, Jacob Grandison audio that has been yet to have been played from yesterday. I'd be remiss, of course, if we didn't start the show with what is the news of the day, sports or otherwise. And that's Tiger Woods being involved in a serious car accident. Reports indicate that he was hospitalized following a bad single car accident in L.A. this morning. It appears that officials on the scene needed to use the jaws of life to free him from the smashed remains of the vehicle. The LAPD put out a press release calling the car damage major. Pictures have been circulating on Twitter of the car itself. It's not pretty. It looks pretty banged up. Tiger was extricated from the wreck and transported to a local hospital by ambulance. His press agent then told the media that he was being treated for multiple severe leg injuries and was undergoing immediate surgery. The LAPD also stated that Tiger was alert enough at the scene of the accident to ask the first responders to have his manager pick up his stuff. So that seems like potentially a silver lining there. Of course, the major silver lining that came out this afternoon is that the officials have confirmed that his injuries are non-life-threatening. It's reported that Tiger was in L.A. for a two-day TV shoot with Golf Digest and Golf TV. He was on the course yesterday giving lessons to celebrities such as David Spade and Dwayne Wade. And he was also interviewed on CBS on air by Jim Nance this past weekend during the Genesis Invitational and expressed excitement for the upcoming Masters. The LAPD are scheduled to speak again with a press conference at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which is 5 p.m. here. And obviously, if they provide any major updates on the situation, we'll be sure to let you know. But of course, as for now, just thinking of Tiger and his family and his kids, hoping he'll be all right. You know, obviously a lot has been made. He's got a checkered past with these types of incidents, and it'll be hard to avoid that type of reckless speculation. But I just think it's wildly unfair to theorize about any of that right now, and best to just keep his family in our hearts and our minds. Scott Van Pelt, well, obviously, SportsCenter host for ESPN, one of their golf analysts. He was on this afternoon on ESPN Radio, which you might have heard right here on ESPN 93.5. Thought I'd replay just a quick little snippet from that interview. I think he summed it up really well. Here is Scott Van Pelt from earlier today on ESPN.
It's just jarring, and your first thought is, I hope he's all right. And I don't mean all right as in, like, not injured. It's pretty clear he's injured. I hope he's with us. You know, I hope he's still alive. And immediately I'm reaching out to people in the game, and as you know you've covered this sport very well for us as well, and have a great passion for the game. It's a small, tight-knit group, and it's the people that play it, and it's the caddies and the club reps and the media that cover it, the writers and all the rest. It's a very small group, and it's really tight. And so I was just immediately reaching out to see if anyone was able to tell me anything. And pretty quickly, I got back the sense that he had been pretty badly injured, but that the thought was that he was not hadn't suffered life-threatening injuries. That's the sense of what I got back. And then, you know, you just hope for the best. I mean, this is someone that, and he and I have joked my entire career that he's single-handedly responsible for it. And it's not a joke. I met him when he was a freshman at Stanford, and he became this rock star. And I was lucky enough to be close enough to cover him and came to ESPN because I covered him. And over time, you get to know each other as people, and he becomes a dad, and becomes an old guy with a bald spot and a fused back, as I've talked about so many times, and becomes so much more relatable as a human than he was when he was a 20-something-year-old Superman, and was this superhero version of us. And so it's odd, you know, Matt, when you feel so, you know, personally connected to this story because you just want so badly for this person you know to be okay. I don't give a damn about the golf, you know? It couldn't matter less. He gave us more than just about any other athlete we've seen in our lives in terms of the moments that move you and make you feel. And so at this moment, I don't find myself at all concerned about Augusta or anything else. I just think for him and for his children, I hope he's all right, man. That's really it.
Yeah, and Scott, I think the point that you bring up for not only those of us who love the sport, cover the sport, and have long admired Tiger Woods of what he's been able to do within the confines of the ropes of a golf tournament. I mean, you could look at Tiger's career maybe in three phases. Tiger 1.0, the phenom. Tiger 2.0, the dominant golfer. Tiger 3.0, after the scandal and the injuries, to get back to the point where he wins the Masters in 2019. As you've seen him, Scott, develop as a person, how has he changed in your eyes from who we saw early 90s or late 90s, early 2000s, to who we've been accustomed to over the last few years?
Well, he had that look for so long that it was somewhat zen, and it was somewhat boxer getting in the ducking under the ropes to get in the ring, is that almost zombie-like state that he didn't let a soul in. And it was a means to an end, and it worked. I mean, he was devastating out there. But then after the mess that he largely made of his own personal life and then a comeback, there was a bit more of an access that he gave to people outside. He solicited that. And I remember telling him, you know, it feels good to let people hug you. You just got to let them. And I meant his peers and the people outside the ropes that adored him. And what you saw, Matt, in 19, when he won and he walked to the same spot where he hugged his father and then he hugged his son and his daughter. And the sound that the patrons made, I'll never forget it. Like, to hear that golf tournament sound like LSU on a night game, sound like Tiger Stadium. They're chanting Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. And you saw his peers come line up just to shake his hand and to see him connect to those people as he walked. It felt different. It felt like he understood that they meant maybe more to him than he knew, and that he understood what he meant to them. And that in that moment of connecting in a different way as a human, you know, as a dad, as a scarred up, flawed version of us in a way, right?
Right.
Back in that place, we never maybe thought we'd see him again. I think that's how he changed. I think he let his fans love him and acknowledge that it meant something to him, and that moment helped frame it. All he really needed was Sam and Charlie, his kids. That's all he needed. But having those people there to provide the soundtrack, you know, for that moment, I know what it meant to him. I mean, because he's expressed it to me. I know what it meant. And there were a lot of times, Matt, that I think he took that for granted and couldn't have given a crap. It was an inconvenience. It got to be so out of hand, you know. Whereas then it was, you know, when those roars died down, I know it meant something for him to hear him again.
Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter earlier today, thought he put that very eloquently. Again, the LAPD scheduled to have a press conference to update on Tiger status at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which will be in about 45 minutes from now. We'll pass along anything that they have to update us on that situation, but obviously a very scary and sad thing happening this morning with Tiger Woods involved in that single car accident. Thanks to Charles, who did text in, and I didn't catch this until just now. The officials did come out and adjust their statement, saying that they did not use the jaws of life. They were not needed to extract him. So, again, small silver linings, but maybe that's something. We're going to move on, press on to Illinois basketball. We'll keep people updated on that situation, but a big game tonight for the Illini. 7.5-point favorites in East Lansing against Michigan State, a team that, you know, if they had lost to Indiana this past weekend, it almost feels like they were done. But now maybe there's a slight slimmer of hope for their postseason chances. They have two games against number 3 Michigan, a game against number 5 Illinois, and the Big Ten tournament. And they are a few games over 500. So, you know, if you're Illinois, it's certainly a place that you haven't won consistently in. I don't know if, you know, in a long time. It's been since, I believe Derek said 2015 or 2016 since you won at the Breslin Center. So, you know, for me, a slight feeling of trepidatious optimism heading into tonight. Obviously, touchdown favorite in a basketball setting on the road should make you feel pretty good. What Illinois has done lately with a 7-game win streak should make you feel pretty good. There's just a little bit of that context with Michigan State at home. They're coming off a win. Maybe gives you a little bit of pause, but we'll dive into it. We've got Brad Underwood audio coming up. We've got Jacob Grandison audio coming up. We've got Io audio coming up as well. Underwood will go practically 20 minutes here. We're just going to play the full clip of yesterday's press availability for Underwood. It's pretty good stuff, talking about the grind of the schedule, what to expect from Michigan State tonight, etc. You can find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5. Our podcasts are on all platforms. Find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, stevyj.com, stevyjay.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can watch us on YouTube. There's not much to see, just me. Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5. We will be back with Brad Underwood audio, Jacob Grandison audio, and then Lante. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Jay Layman, former Illini All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is your home for appliance repair. When buying a new appliance doesn't fit into your budget, Dick Van Dyke is also the go-to for fixing your old one. Dick Van Dyke technicians are ranked number one for appliance repair, winning 3 consecutive Reader's Choice Awards. Schedule service by phone or visit online 24/7 at appliance-world.com. That's appliance-world.com.
When your computer's not working, you're not working. Hi, this is Dan from Simplify Computers. Whether your computer is running slow, you have a virus, or it's just time for an upgrade, Simplify Computers is here to help with personal service you won't find at the big box stores. We can set up your wireless network, build, install, and maintain your business's server, or replace your hard drive. For over 18 years, we have served the Champaign-Urbana community with integrity and quality customer service. Call us at 352-5000. Simplified Computers, simply the best.
Inside the train testing facility, our heating and cooling products are put through 16 weeks of extreme temperature fluctuations to simulate 5 years of wear and tear. 150 degrees one day, sub-zero temperatures the next. We test so it runs.
CU Trade Services for commercial and residential, working with highly trained technicians for plumbing, electrical, and HVAC. Get your furnace checkup now with details found at thecuservices.com, your local train dealer.
It's hard to stop a train.
You want your children and grandchildren to focus on their future, not tuition. For more than 150 years, Busey Bank has partnered with families and businesses to establish impactful, enduring legacies. Busey's experienced advisors can help build plans and develop strategies that work as hard as you do. Busey is proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, a champion for purpose and progress since 1868. Member FDIC.
Hey Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive. Trevor Valise here, Lon Tay on his way. Derek Piper in East Lansing for Illinois-Michigan State. Want to remind everybody to listen up. Rector Construction is the reliable roofing, construction, and remodeling company serving the residents of Central Illinois. Giving to the community is key to their mission, as their main desire is to help better Champaign County. As the weather warms up, and by the way, it is 54 and sunny right now in CU. So as that weather continues to warm up and the dust settles from all the winter storms, it's time to think about your roof. This is the year to have your roof replaced and to have your crawl space inspected. Who knows what's down there? Call or text Rector at 217-281-7000 or visit them online at rectorconstruction rectorconstruct.com. That's 281-7000 or visiting them online at rectorconstruction.com. Sean weighed in on our text line, 217-359-2255. Said this game is going to be one of those rock fights. Sean, I agree with you. It just feels like one of those games that I'd be really surprised if Illinois comes away with a 94-60 win again in this one. Michigan State's just scrappy. And, you know, unfortunately, they still have something to play for. So while I'm not overly concerned about this game, it's going to be annoying. And I think rock fight is the fair term to use there. Brad Underwood was asked all about this game yesterday. He had press availability before they took off for East Lansing. We recap Minnesota with Brad Underwood audio from Saturday yesterday, but this is new Brad Underwood audio. I'm just going to let it play about 18 minutes of Brad Underwood answering questions on Michigan State, the schedule, the Michigan game being rescheduled, and all sorts of good stuff. Here is Brad Underwood.
On to the next. It's the way this Big Ten season is shaping up. A lot of activity here towards the end. So, obviously, we play a Michigan State team that is coming off a great win at Michigan, a game in which they erupted for 52 or 53 points in the second half of that game. One of the outstanding players in this conference, Aaron Henry, got going, was very, very effective. And a team that is, even though they've had some ups and downs this year, by their standards, which are extremely high, this is a team that's playing extremely hard. They are continuing to play for Tom, which they always will. His culture is so ingrained, and a team that's playing better of late offensively and defensively both. So we're expecting a battle royal. They play as hard as anybody in the league. They're as physical as anybody in the league, and we've got to match that.
What made them more effective at Indiana?
They forced a lot of turnovers. Indiana turned the ball over. They did a very good job defensively. If you look at the box score, I think only one of Indiana's guards scored in the game. They let Trace have a big night. Trace had 34, I think, and was very, very effective. But it was turnovers. It was getting out in transition and easy baskets. They withstood a punch from Indiana to open the game. And then, really erupted the second half with 52 or 53 points.
You know, the other night you said, I don't care, bring them on, in regards to big scheduling. It seems like you might be catching Michigan State at just the wrong time, but maybe that's part of the opinion.
That's your opinion. I got no choice. I got no say. I got to play who we play.
Brad, after such a performance against Minnesota, I'm curious, what is a film review session like after a game like that for you?
We didn't. We showed two clips. We showed one clip of a defensive rotation that was very impressive. We showed one clip that was a great baseline rotation. Both of those led to points in transition because of the efforts. And those were the only two possessions we had with our schedule right now. We've just got to move on. And, we're kind of hitting on some positives and didn't spend a lot of time. Didn't spend any, to be honest. 30 seconds.
So that's more schedule driven rather than there's nothing to learn from it kind of thing.
Yeah, we always grade it out. They saw their grades. The one thing we don't do is we usually spend a lot of time on certain negatives, certain positives. We just didn't have the time to do that and move straight into Michigan State.
Hey, Coach, does this stretch that you guys have coming up maybe mimic a little bit of the NCAA tournament? I know you just mentioned, we don't have a lot of time. You're playing an opponent that you haven't seen yet this season. As far as scouting, how does this pace maybe prepare you for that?
Yeah, very similar. We've talked about that with our team. It's a one-day prep. It's quick. It's stressing all of the things that are very, very important. And that's recovery, that's sleep, that's hydration. You know, we are kind of who we are in some areas. We'll continue to grow a little bit in some, but, you know, you hit your opponent, you move on, and then there's got to be a real mental sharpness to our guys in terms of what they cover. And they've got to know their assignments.
And what's the mood in practice right now? I mean, coming off that Minnesota win, are you guys still, you know, riding that high a little bit, or what's kind of the mood right now?
No, I again, you know, I think the one thing that we really stress in this program is that's how we kind of put the final touches on a game, is that those last two clips, and then we move on to the next, and it's not anything about what Minnesota, that's long gone. I think our guys are thinking about Michigan State because they're the next one up.
Good morning, Coach. You've spoken so much in the past couple of weeks and even years, I guess, about how important road wins are to you and your program's culture. Just kind of having to go on the road and win the Big Ten, which I know is one of your team's biggest goals, kind of bring some extra pride for you and your guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, some people make it more complicated. You've got to have toughness. You've got to have a culture that allows you to go win on the road. If you don't have any culture, you're not going to win on the road. That's something that I admire about the great programs in this conference and around the country is it's not just players. It's your culture. And but again, when I say it's complicated, it's literally just the next game. We can't worry about all that other stuff. We'll worry about all that and think about all that at the end. Right now, it's just got to be focused on Michigan State. We play them on a court that's there, happens to be at their place. We've talked about road wins all along. Our guys know that's what we take a lot of pride in. To specify that as something we're shooting towards, we're not. It's just getting ready to face a really good Michigan State team who's coming off their best game.
Outside of the toughness that I guess is required to go win on the road, what kind of goes into building a culture that allows your team to win on the road so consistently?
Yeah, character, togetherness. You've got to have the right attitude. You've got to have the right amount of swag. You've got to have guys that are experienced, guys that are fearless, and then you've got to have execution to go with it. So, we talk about those things every day in practice, and it doesn't matter where we play. We've got to go do our part. And if we don't do our part in this league, you get beat.
Hey, Brad, the other night, Io talked about that sense of urgency is here. They feel it with the schedule down to the last 2 weeks here and the goals laid out in place. Is there something you see out of those guys that you kind of know that, okay, this is, I know where their headspace is. I mean, are there any tell signs that you can read that out of them?
No, I think we're focused. I think we're, we see little things in practice. I mean, we're pretty sharp right now mentally. I think in terms of scouting report, we're not having to spend as much time on that stuff. I think that, obviously we're trying to compete for something that's out there. But I think we're pretty goal driven, and I like that. I think our team is pretty focused that way. And again, there's one game at a time. We don't get ahead of anything, and we've got an NCAA tournament like week, and we've got to prepare for that.
Seems like these guys really know how to take those goals and be self driven. I mean, just the way that I think you recruited them with championship calibers. You talked about that. Is that something where they kind of drive that themselves? I wouldn't think they probably need a lot of prodding on that front.
Well, it's as you said, winners win. Winners know how to win. There's certain guys that never win. They may be great players, but they never win. And, it's not about, how many stars you've got by your name, or it's not, it's all about character and the ability to withstand adversity, to deal with adversity, to toughen you up so you can handle road games, and then understand it's not about you, it's about us. I think this group is right there is at the top of groups that I've had and been around.
Brett, I just had a quick follow-up to what Marley was talking about. These quick turnarounds, in your experience, is it a bigger mental or physical challenge?
Mental. The physical, we can't go on and on the court and high rep coverages or schemes. And so that turns into film work. It turns into your fundamentals, your principles, knowing that, you know, we're handling this way. We're handling this way against them. We got to take this away. And guys have to know and recognize that. And instead of doing it on the court, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, we may hit it once or twice, and then it's got to be absorbed through film.
And is the mental challenge just quick turnaround of your mind of focusing on the next, like you're trying with Minnesota?
Absolutely. You don't get the thrill or the emotion of enjoying that win or that little bit of success. You've got to immediately, you know, I say all the time, you enjoy your post game meal. And as soon as your post game meal is over, it's post that game, not post next or pre next game. It's post that game and it's over. Now you got to shift. And it's one of the great challenges of the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament is it's a quick turn and it's much more mental than physical.
Hey coach, you guys are inside the top 10 in the country offensive efficiency. It's really been that way throughout the season. Wanted to ask you about Coach Gentry's involvement and what you've seen out of him and just kind of the control that he has with that offense.
Yeah, Steven does a great job with that. He dissects. He's very, very good at analyzing opponents in terms of what they're trying to do in certain coverages. It's been a, you know, we've changed the way we've scouted this year. You know, he handles all of the opponent's defenses against our offense and Chan oversees the other side of that and the defensive coverages it's about playing to our strengths against what our opponents try to do. And Steven's very, very dialed in on that. We've never wavered on the fact that we were going to play fast. Transition was going to be a big part of what we do. And yet the ball screen stuff has been something he's been great at. He's been dialed in terms of working with our guards, working with our bigs, just like in the Minnesota game, we knew exactly where they were going to tag. We knew there were going to be some late lobs and opportunities there. So, you get an advantage when you know that. Steven's very, very smart, very intelligent, and he's very thorough when it comes to those coverages. And it's been I like the way this is panned out. You know, our assistant coaches aren't on the road recruiting, so they're here all the time. So it was a way to restructure and maximize all of our guys' ability to be here in practice every day. And so thought a lot about that in pandemic and restructured it and really like it. And again, I think we've become more efficient on both ends. I think we're eighth offensively now or right there. And I think we're ninth defensively now. We've got inside the top 10 and, you know, Chin's done an equally good job on the defensive side.
I know Iowa had a lot of success last year, second half of the year in particular, as a pick and roll decision maker, maybe would have had more assists if more made shots by those around him. But have you noticed him take another step forward in that role, or what are you kind of seeing with him there, the ball in his hands?
Yeah, experience, strength has all been a part of that. Continued repetitions, just understanding what defenses do to him. He's seen just about every type of defense now that there is to see. He's become much more patient. You know, he's not trying to score on every ball screen. He's trying to make the right read and make winning plays. And again, Kofi's number one in the country in efficiency from rim running and in ball screen actions, excuse me. And that helps. That draws a lot of attention. And just like the other night, you know, Trent gets going and Jacob get going hitting threes. Now you've got to kind of pick your poison. And Io's facilitating all of that with the ball in his hands and ball screen. So there's a lot of facets in that. It's a lot of fundamental teaching. It's a lot of strength. It's a lot of maturity. And we're starting to see you know, the ultimate rewards in that are his numbers he's putting up.
Hey, Brad, the new AP poll drops today, and you have teams like Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina not in the poll. What do you kind of think? Why do you kind of think that is? Do you think that's a COVID thing or just a weird down year for all those teams? Or
I'm not in those practices. I don't want to talk about it. I got enough to worry about thinking about my own team instead of thinking about those teams. I don't know. I watched Duke a little bit the other night against Virginia. They played great. Maybe those young kids are growing up. I know being early in this program and trying to win with a lot of young guys is really, really hard. I don't know, Brandon, I would just be speculating, and I don't like to do that because I'm not there in those programs, but we're all dealing with COVID. So, it's not just COVID.
And then as someone who's been a coach for quite some time now, how hard is it to sustain success year after year?
Very. Winning's hard. Winning's really, really, really hard. And that's why I wanted this job, because it's a program that's the 11th ranked program in the history of college basketball. And when you've had success and you've had history, it's easier to do that, but it's still really hard because you have to, in the Big Ten, I kept looking up at this league every single year thinking about, who am I going to pass? Because they're not just going to let me pass them. They're not going to let Illinois basketball just jump them. It's hard. They've all got resources. They've all got facilities. They've all got cultures, traditions, great coaches. So it's hard. And I sure do not take winning for granted. It's like you said, when the blue bloods of the country can have off years, that shows you how hard winning is.
Hey, Brad, you've discussed just the advantages of having an older team, especially in a season like this. But when it comes to a one-day prep for Michigan State and maybe more of them coming here in the last couple of weeks, how much more of an advantage is that where you've got guys that have been through that in the Big Ten for 2, 3, 4 years?
Well, I hope it's huge. I think the one thing that where it becomes very helpful, and this was huge with my SFA teams and postseason, was in-game changes become easy with a veteran team. It's not just about what you do before. You got to remember that other team's scheming too, and they're doing certain things. And those in-game adjustments become much easier with a veteran team. And your young guys, they're still trying to figure out what the heck you're doing, let alone being able to make an adjustment to, an action that takes place in game. So that's where it's a real advantage.
And I suppose just because of the pandemic, does the rate of travel you'll have, in the last 2 weeks of the season, does that present any extra challenges just being away from home a little bit more?
No. I think the one thing that, we the way we travel, we minimize it. It's pretty easy. I've said our hardest trip of the year is Northwestern, and it's in our own state. And the way we travel now is fine. We're adapted. We've got a routine in place. So we've got as much a routine in place on the road as we do it at home. So I'm not concerned about that.
Brad, you've talked about how big transition is for your team, especially, with what you did this last weekend at Minnesota. Do you ever feel like this team's going too fast or going out of control? Have you had that feeling this year, or do you just trust the IO and the Trents and the Bellows that are kind of running that deal, that they know what that feels like on both ends?
Yeah, we practice that way. So I don't mind aggressive turnovers. Not to say I like them, but I understand them. And aggressive turnovers happen sometimes when you play with speed and you play fast. But it's pretty hard with me to play too fast. Now once it's 5-on-5 in the half court, you got to play with some pace and you got to play with some understanding. But in the broken court, it's speed wins there.
And even now, is the cliche still true that it's harder to speed up a game than it is to slow it down? And that's kind of one of the benefits you guys have of playing with transition and playing with pace like you do?
Yeah, there's no question. That's why I keep emphasizing our guards rebounding all the time. Our guards rebound, any of them. I mean, we're off, we're running, and it saves the second and a half or 2 seconds of an outlet. And the first dribble, we can get out and go, and that's when we're at our best.
Hey, Brad, there's this website that kind of compares how your offensive and defensive efficiencies match up with teams in the past. And one of your similar profiles is the 2011-2012 K-State team with Magruder and Samuels and Spalding. Do you see a similarity between this team and that team?
That team didn't have Kofi. That team that team struggled more. That team was a grind it out, just have to, that team needed ugly. That team was and I don't mean that in a bad way, but that team was probably as gritty a group, nasty, fight you, kind of do it in an ugly way, offensive rebound. They were a little bit different. I haven't looked back that close at the numbers, but that's what I remember about that team was, we were really good at winning really, really ugly and trying to make them just smash mouth rock fights.
That is Brad Underwood answering some questions about Michigan State tonight, some random questions as well. Michigan State and Illinois tonight, 6:00 on Fox Sports 1. Aaron Henry stepping up for Michigan State lately. He's averaged 15 points and 6 boards. It's actually 5.7, but for Lon's sake, I'll call it 6. Joey Hauser, he's put up 10 points a game and 6 rebounds a game. And then, of course, you know what Io and Kofi and the gang have done for Illinois. So we'll see. Should be an interesting game tonight. I know Sean waited on the text line, called it a rock fight. I think that is a very apropos phrase for tonight's game. Jason weighed in and said he thinks it's key for Illinois to get ahead of at least Ohio State so they can get a 1 seed. With the new rules where the top 4 of a conference can't be in the same region, you don't want to be in that region with Baylor or Gonzaga. Jason, I 100% agree. I think it's silly, and Derek and I talked about this yesterday, that rule exists. I understand why the committee is hesitant to put conference foes together too early in a tournament setting, but frankly, I don't understand why that would overtake just the competitive ranking of the teams. You know, I understand if you've got 2 8 seeds that are very similar and they're sort of flip-flopped and it doesn't matter which one's where, if you say, okay, let's not put 2 Big Ten teams in the same region. But we're talking about something that has a massive impact on the tournament. I mean, if Illinois ends up being the top 2 seed in the tournament in terms of seed line, or the number 5 team, let's say, I think it'd be ridiculous to put them where the 8th team, let's say, is the lowest 2 seed or the second lowest 2 seed, just to avoid, say, Michigan. Because by the time you play that Michigan game, hypothetically, between Illinois and Michigan, you're in the Elite 8. And, I mean, does anyone really care? Maybe I'm biased here because we're talking about, our local team that might be in it, but does anybody really care that much if 2 Big Ten teams play each other by the 3rd weekend of the tournament? I certainly don't, to the point where I don't think it should affect someone's seed line that greatly. And as Derek and I pointed out yesterday too, you just saw Minnesota and Michigan State play each other in the 2nd round of the tournament 2 years ago. So if that ends up being a problem where Illinois is the highest 2 seed, but they get stuck in the Baylor region because they don't want Illinois and Ohio State in the same region, I would have beef with that, because I just think that is silly to go to that length to affect or sort of, theoretically punish a good team just so that they don't play a conference foe. I just think that's silly. We will have more audio coming up. Io DeSumo and Jacob Grandison. Some remaining Io audio from Saturday. Some new Jacob Grandison audio from yesterday. Lon Tay will be here. We'll preview Illinois, and Michigan State. There he is. Lonte is in the building. We'll take a quick break and come back. It is The Drive.
Long's Garage in Urbana and Jasper Engines and Transmissions offer cost-effective solutions to your present engine or transmissions trouble. Avoid a costly new car purchase or high lease payments by putting new life into your present vehicle. Let Long's Garage install a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission with a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide warranty and available premium service plan. Call Long's Garage at 367-3942. Long's Garage, 217-367-3942.
If you're looking for a car dealership that is 100% attentive to detail, look no further than Sarah Champagne. Sarah Champagne knows you have high expectations, but they enjoy the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. Sarah Honda, Sarah BMW, Sarah GMC, Sarah Buick, and Sarah Subaru in Savoy, or online, Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure, I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
If you're tired of running the vacuum, knocking over stuff, dusting, dogs barking, call Ram Clean. They're local. They are a top-rated cleaning service focused on quality and speed of service. As one of the fastest-growing local house cleaning companies in Champaign-Urbana and East Central Illinois, Ram Clean has a team of highly trained professionals who will clean your whole house quickly and efficiently. Ram Clean Cleaning Service. Go to ramclean.com.
It's that time of year again when we get cold and be bold for Special Olympics Illinois, and the need is greater than ever. This year, it's not where you plunge or how you plunge, but that you plunge. Join us for the Law Enforcement Torch Run at-home polar plunge for Region I. Get frosty with a dunk in a kiddie pool, a run through the hose, or even a water balloon toss with your team. Now through March 14th. Register today for the Muhammad at-home plunge at plungeillinois.com.
At Stevie J Broadcasting, we support local businesses like Allerton Equipment Repair, your trusted truck repair and service center in Allerton, Dogtown Heating and Air, Fresh Coat Painting done right, and American Eagle Autoglass, autoglass repair, autoglass replacement, and mobile windshield repair. Go to steviejay.com to learn more about our local partners and click on their links to their websites. Local partners from Stevie J Broadcasting.
You've heard their name, but who are they? Areawide Technologies is a full-service business solutions provider. What does that mean? Areawide makes it their mission to provide the perfect custom solution designed to meet your business needs. They can help you operate your IT department with confidence and excellence. Let their certified security professionals show you where your network is vulnerable, including their support in helping you transition from Windows 7. Give them a call, 217-359-8041, or email them at info@areawidetech.com. Your Fighting Illini men's basketball team is gearing up for what could be a historic season. You can gear up. Show off your fandom at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Shop their huge selection of new merchandise with everything from Nike tees and headwear, champion sweatshirts, and of course, their famous House of Pain and Flying Illini apparel. They have everything you need to get ready for this Illini basketball season. Head down to their stores at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online at Game Day Spirit.
Here's what people are saying about PDR Automotive in Urbana. The following reviews are from actual customers in the last 5 months. They were kind and helpful. They offered a very thorough evaluation. Their staff was friendly and attentive. They were quick, reasonably priced, and kept me informed during the process. They did a great job with what I requested. They were very professional, and it was a great overall experience. If you're looking for an honest automobile mechanic that will fix your car the first time, visit PDR Automotive on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
Hey Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, look who's here. Lonte. How's it going?
Lonte is tired. And it's,
I mean, it does have a lot to do with travel, but it has a lot to do with I went toe-to-toe with college kids for about 5 days.
I was waiting for Monday voice.
Oh, it was. I had it.
It's not that bad right now.
It's not too bad because I took it easy the last 2 days. But Thursday night I arrived after just hellacious travel Thursday. Didn't even think I was going to make it to Tempe, to Phoenix Sky Harbor. I thought we were going to have to go to LAX the next morning and then get in. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But anyway, Thursday night we hit it hard. Friday we hit it hard. Saturday I made breakfast for everybody. We hit it hard during the day. And then 5:30 at night, Saturday night, I went to bed.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm out, guys. I'm out. And then... Then Sunday, of course, I went, checked out the Cubs spring training, all that stuff. Of course, you can't see the players or anything. But
right. It looked cool, though.
It was very cool. Yeah, I like the sweet spot.
The wall of logos.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I thought it was really cool. I had forgotten that you had been there. It was a really cool thing. It was cool to see Sloan Park and all that. But then Monday, just kind of a chill day with Lucas. We grilled out. It was like 78, 79 degrees. Perfect. Mm. And then, you get back, and then we had an hour delay again today because we had a flat tire on the plane. I'm glad somebody noticed that.
So between my difficulties with the Redbox bill and your difficulties this trip, I sure hope there aren't any airlines going to sponsor our show.
Right.
Because we've had our fair share of problems.
I mean, I had a 2.5-hour delay getting there, and almost I made my connecting flight, and it wasn't the original connecting flight. It was a new one. I made it by 8 minutes.
And the delay was?
The delay was before we left O'Hare, another plane was running a little late, so they waited so those people could connect and get on our plane, which is fine, whatever. Except I only had 30 minutes
right
in the first place.
So you weren't giving yourself a large cushion even if you took off on time.
And that's tricky to do in the winter, obviously. But I thought once we get to Denver, I had 30 minutes to get to a connecting to Phoenix Sky Harbor. Well, everybody gets on the plane, and we're delayed for about 25 minutes doing that. Well, guess what? Their luggage, there was a door that would not open on the other plane. So we ended up waiting 2 hours. And I'm like, so here's what the captain says. And I will not give the airline. I won't do that.
Right.
Because, I mean, I've traveled so many times and had zero problems. But it was the captain gets on and says, well, here's the deal. For those of you that didn't check luggage, which I don't normally, I just travel light. He's like, just look at it this way. Now these people don't have to wait 6 hours for their luggage to arrive in the next spot. But then I start thinking, well, do you care about me who has to wait an entire night in Denver and then fly to LAX? But it worked out. It worked out. It was a great trip. And
that's weird. When we missed our flight, the first one, because of all that fog, they said sorry.
Right.
I mean, you'll figure out your luggage. And it came. Like, it wasn't a big deal.
No.
But, you know, then to reverse and punish the people who didn't have luggage and got there early by making them wait 2 hours. I mean, was Matt Damon on the other connecting plane or something?
Exactly. Here's one of these that I'm not one of these that ever really complains much. But if I would have had to spend the night in Denver, probably at my own cost.
Right. Because it wasn't a natural event.
Then I would have had to get up at 7 a.m. Well, I think you got it. Isn't it turned around like?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
They
may have
mechanical failure of the luggage door. Exactly. Maybe you could get it covered.
They may have put me up in a hotel and given me that fancy $10 Taco Bell voucher in the airport, which I would have used that 10, but I needed a lot more. But, you know, it's one of those where if I would have missed that flight, I mean, that's frustrating. And I just think to myself, that captain probably wishes he wouldn't have said that.
Yeah,
I get what he's saying, and I understand that I'm glad everybody got to Phoenix or Denver, actually would have been Denver, and had their luggage. But it's like, well, yeah, except it's at the expense of how many people missed a connecting flight. I don't know. I was lucky to get on one, so who knows. But, hey, I'm back.
Phew. Whew. Welcome back. And you were flying out of there this morning, right?
Yeah, I flew out. It wasn't too bad. I flew out at 8, but then we sat there and changed a tire. And when they said, well, we've got a flat tire.
So there's a flat tire on the plane.
Yeah, the captain comes on. He's like, we're going to be delayed a little bit, probably by 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And then he says, comes back on and he says, okay, I gotta spill the beans, essentially. There's a tire that's running low with all the cold weather we've had lately. Now, this is in Phoenix. And I looked at a lady next to me who was from Chicago, and I'm like, oh, cold weather is what they're experiencing. It was like, you know, 60 degrees.
Right, right.
It was actually 47, but still, you're just like, oh. Well, then they found out that the stem, is that what I'm thinking of a tire? It was broken.
You'd have to ask Hans.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So they changed the tire. Well, I started thinking, are we going to have to deplane for them to change the tire? But no, they did it with us on the plane. So that delayed me an hour, which pushed back everything, pushed back the shuttle, where I had parked. I mean, all it pushes everything back when you travel, but whatever. And then it pushed me back getting here.
Right.
I would have gotten here on time, but unfortunately, I was 45 minutes late.
Hey, so that's
my apology.
I'll take 45 minutes off of what all you just rattled off.
Oh, it was crazy, but it was a great trip. It was fun to see. I met all of Lucas's
good
roommates, so we had a great time. And he and I were able to just spend some time together and catch up. He's 21 now. So we could do things that we've never been able to do in the past, you know, just go to a restaurant and he could have a beer or whatever.
That's awesome.
So it was really cool, and it was a great trip, beautiful weather, and Illinois, wow, Saturday.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about the weather.
No, enough of that.
Because I was going to say that for the first time ever, I'm not that jealous of you coming right. back because it's actually 55 and sunny here.
I know. But. Isn't it funny how everybody goes, are you going to take credit for the weather? I'm like, well, it's already nice before right. I've even left Phoenix. So,
but yes, the streak continued of Illinois doing something while you were gone.
Exactly.
The Nebraska football win out of nowhere earlier this year. Right. Last year, there was one or two notable things that happened while you were gone, and this time it's a 94-63 win.
It was incredible.
Did you watch the game?
I did. Okay. We watched the entire game. Lucas and I just sat up. We were outside. Everybody was playing beer dye, which I won't even go into it, try to explain that.
I still
that.
Don't understand that one, but
I figured out how to play it. I'm not very good at it. I played one game. I'm like, I'm out. And the game lasted like an hour and a half. I'm like, okay, this is too much. But anyway, Lucas and I sat down and watched that game. And man, that team that day was the best team in the country. And I know that Gonzaga and Baylor, I think those two teams are better than you. Doesn't mean you can't beat them. But that day, I don't know that anybody would have beaten Illinois. They were absolutely dominant.
I think it's a good point.
It's very
that
good.
That was, you know, we talked about, and I mentioned it with Derek yesterday.
Not my point was very good. I mean, they were very
well,
good.
Well, both were. I used the phrase, you know, it's like the Death Star isn't fully operational.
Exactly.
When you saw some of those wins, and it felt like maybe for one of the first times, that was like, okay, Illinois can be this scary good.
I agree.
And some of it was, you know, Minnesota was down Kauchler and Robbins was on one foot.
That didn't help.
And you know I'm not, it's well documented, I'm not a fan of Minnesota and Patino to begin with.
No.
So, I mean, it probably helps that you were playing Minnesota, but still, yes. That's a team that was 13-1 at home. They beat Michigan by 17 and Ohio State by 18. Mm. And then you go in there and win by 31.
Goodness.
Crazy.
And then you watch the Michigan-Ohio State game. We watched that Sunday. I want to get to that. I know next hour we're going to hit on Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Maybe get an update on him. And we're going to hear Jacob Grandison. I think you have quite a bit of block of audio from Grandison as we get ready for Illinois-Michigan State. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about this schedule for Illinois. And I don't want to upset Illinois fans, but I feel like this is going to be such a task to try to win a Big Ten title or even try to secure a number one seed. If they're able to do that with all the road games against who they're playing coming up, it would be an amazing feat.
It would almost be a miracle.
It would be.
Just in terms of the games back of Michigan.
Yes.
You know, if one team is the high ground and one team is the low ground here in this title chase, Michigan has the high ground.
Easy.
Which is, I know, frustrating for a lot of people because
sure.
It sort of feels like they catered it to that. But at the same time, Illinois is rolling in a way right now where, you know, Underwood said yesterday, I don't care, bring it on.
Yeah.
Essentially is what he said.
I love that.
This was...
Who cares? Who cares? I don't care.
That was what he said, essentially.
You guys don't know...
Well, that too.
But, no, I won't say that.
So, you know, there's a certain aspect of it that's like, man, the odds are stacked against them.
Big time.
But then at the same time, it's sort of like, bring it on.
Yeah.
You know, I'd prefer the odds be stacked against them. What the hell?
Let's go.
I mean, they've been so good lately, you know.
And it's game day, day, game day, game day. I mean, it's just like day, I mean, day off game.
Derek and I were talking about it yesterday, just real quick. His schedule's crazy.
Oh. Yeah, just Piper.
I hope you're around.
I'm going to be here.
Because the Nebraska game starts at 6 on Thursday, so he's got to duck out early.
I am here.
You've got Wisconsin on Saturday on the road.
I know.
Then he's got Ann Arbor next Tuesday on the road.
Goodness.
I mean, it's crazy.
You've got me for a while. How about that?
All right.
Except for tomorrow. But we'll go into that later.
I've got you for a while until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
Okay. That's Lante, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm getting vaccinated tomorrow.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, that is good. That's a good thing in this COVID times.
We got 10 seconds.
OK. Okay, let's hear from Jacob Grandison. Update on Tiger Woods. And you and I will talk just a little bit about the schedule for Illinois.
It is The Drive.